So they just bow your heads and say, Father,
Father,
give me ears to hear.
Give me ears to hear.
Eyes to see.
Eyes to see.
And a heart to perceive.
And a heart to perceive.
What you're speaking to me.
What you're speaking to me.
Amen?
Amen.
I want to take you to John chapter 10. And we're going to start at verse 25. If you precede it, you'll see that the unbelief of the Jews is definitely part of the conversation. In verse 25, he responds, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Now, that is a real correction. You are not my sheep. 27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they know and follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Now, I know we talked about this a few days back, but the press that I have is to talk about the recreation that he was speaking of to those that would be his sheep, and how eternal life was a part of the deal. You see, when Jesus made the commitment to follow Papa, Papa had already tested Abraham. And Abraham laid his desires on that altar actually before he went to the mountain. And you need to remember that he had faith. Because he said to the helper, we will return. And you can check that out. That's not the purpose of my message. You can check it out for yourself. Abraham's words of faith when he said, we will return. Now, he had received the word that he was to lay his son on that altar and offer him as a sacrifice. Now, let's face it, they had gone there many times before. But they brought a lamb or a ram as an offering. This time, the son is carrying the wood. No different than Jesus carried the cross. And he was ready to let it happen. And some people think the son fought the father. I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. I believe the son was in total harmony with his father. I don't believe there was any war between the father and the son. I believe the father, Abraham, had already explained, we need to do this. And I don't know how God's going to give you back to me, but I'm believing that he will. Those of you who have children, try to get through to them on that level, and you tell me if it wasn't a supernatural gift. Even when the son was being tied and laid on the wood, I am absolutely convinced that Abraham's tears were already flowing 100 miles an hour, falling on his son. And when he lifted up that dagger, he did it believing that somehow something would happen. Something eternal did happen. There was an angel on the job, saying, don't do this. Now I know your heart. There was a season where I had to lay the one I love on that altar. And I remember saying to the Lord, can't take it anymore. And the tears were rolling off of my eyes. And the Lord said, I know your heart. I can do what you can't do for that person. And did he find a ram? Yes. At that moment, I broke bread. And I reminded my Father, my Heavenly Father, that flesh and his blood had taken care of what I couldn't do for the one that I wanted to see change. How many of you have got somebody you'd like to change? You can't do it. But when you go to that altar and you offer up for that one that you know you can't change, he will bring about an eternal salvation. You say, well, how do we know? How do we really know? Ezekiel 36:26. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Who's going to do it?
He is.
Who's going to do it for the ones you love?
He is.
So get off the job. Stop trying to change people.
All right.
So that I can have a little relief, Kim. Can't you get it? Can't you get it? If I can change them, I'll have relief. I do get it. You'll never have the peace that surpasses understanding while you're struggling to make somebody perform what you can't do yourself.
Amen.
First John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Have you got somebody that's remaining in death? And they're angry at everybody, including you.
Amen.
Because you represent life. You are what? Your armor is light. We talked about that in Romans 13. You have put on light. You are radiating light. And you think something is out there causing you all kinds of problems. You're the problem. You put on Christ. You are the irritation. The bugs around you can't stand you. Another word for those bugs is beasts. Because they'll act and react like beasts to you. Because they can't stand what's inside of you. They can't stand your submission. I should have heard an amen on that
amen,
one.
Amen.
You need to know that when you turn on a big light, that the bugs will scatter. But then they go out and they regroup, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Why do they regroup? Because they try again to destroy the light that's in you. But they cannot succeed. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Those who are still trying to live out from death are not going to understand the love that you have. Until they decide that, wow, I did it wrong. I had my agenda. It broke. It couldn't perform. And they get discouraged. 2 Timothy 1:10. 2 Timothy 1:10. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel through you. Is it the gospel through you that's irritating those that can't stand you? And yet some will declare, I'm born again, I am. But their actions, what? Their actions and their choices show what? They may declare it with their mouth, but it's just lip service to please people.
Amen.
And I'm not trying to be critical. It's what the word says. Amen? If they have no love for each other, they don't belong to the one that they claim to belong to. Amen? All right. And I'm not being critical. I'm just saying they need prayer. First John 5:12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. How clear is that?
Clear as a bell.
Clear as a bell. How do you know you have the Son? The Holy Spirit. He's letting you know that, yes, you have the Son in you, and the love you expound becomes good news to those that are believers, but it's bad news for those who can't stand your guts. Come on.
Amen.
See, when I say to you the light that's in you irritates the darkness, it's got to be something that you can comprehend. Because again, you know, trying to justify what God has done for you is never going to work. It's just not going to work. What you have to do is do like Abraham. I don't know how you're going to do it, God. I don't know which way you're going to manifest here, but you will manifest and you will change them because I can't. I can't even change me.
Amen.
What I can do is submit to you. What I can't do, and when you do, healing takes place. Romans 5:21. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness, to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now here's a good one. Just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness, to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How is he going to bring that? By faith. How many of you declare once a week, I am righteous, I'm 100% righteous, whether the enemy likes it or not? If you confess with your mouth, Romans 10:9-10,
and believe
with your heart.
Come on.
So where have you got to start? By believing. Abraham started to believe, told his son to bring the wood. He brought the dagger, and off they went. And we shall return. We shall return. Jesus said he's going to return. Are you ready for him? Are you ready? Has he returned in you? Mm-hmm. Yes, he has. Is he alive by his spirit within you? Yes.
You are new creations. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You are a brand new creation. You're not the old anymore. The old is dying. You know, Gail pointed out, what are you doing? You're just breaking me up. He's doing it to us. He's breaking us from what we were to what we need to become. And the progress of resurrection is consistent. Recreation is ongoing. Amen?
Amen.
So you start by believing you are righteous. Romans chapter 5. It's by faith you receive. By faith, Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, by faith, by faith, they worked towards the goal. Did they receive the goal? No, many of them didn't. But they're what? Waiting in the wings for us to go forward. Yeah, check out the last couple of verses of Romans 11. You'll see what he's doing. He's doing a mighty work in a body of people to get them ready to go higher. Those are not my promises, those are his.
You mean Hebrews 11?
Hebrews 11, the last few verses. You can continue on to Hebrews 12:1. We're surrounded by a cloud of
witnesses.
Yeah. His angels are on the job even today.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they wear armor? Why would you and I wear the armor of light? How many know that if you're very, very bright, you will actually blind the animals around you? Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So there might be other beasts in your neighborhood. And because your light is on, they will be blinded. They can't get close to you. If they try, they'll be stymied. They will be canceled. Their intention will be neutralized. So all the more reason to put on the light.
John 5:24, last verse. John 5:24. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, who sent Jesus, the Father, has eternal life and will not be condemned. Will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life.
I repeat it again. You have crossed over from death to life. Now, would you check your neighbor and say, I've got news for you. I have crossed from death to life. And I will live my life for the greater one. Hallelujah. It's Christ in me. The hope of glory.
Amen? Yes, dear.
You know I have a question.
You have a question? Go for it.
This is where I stumble. Does it not say in the Bible?
Yeah.
We can judge the sin,
but not the sinner. Yes.
Okay. So when you're asked a question,
mm-hmm.
and you answer it,
mm-hmm.
based on judging the sin,
yeah.
not the person,
yeah.
and that irritates and aggravates, and then the war begins.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse not to acknowledge the sin, if I'm asked.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's being cowardly, and I think it's trying to appease.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that you're standing up for what is right and wrong,
mm-hmm.
if you don't judge.
Mm-hmm.
However, Where I am torn is, if it's going to cause discussion to the point that the other person gets aggravated, I have gained nothing.
Thank you.
But if I don't acknowledge it, and I give that person the impression that, oh, it's okay, then I don't feel as if I'm being a good witness.
Right.
I think sometimes it's easier to say, just let it go, because the person who's being asked the question doesn't care to get into it. And see, I don't think that's a good witness, nor do I think that's the truth. I think some people just...
Well, let me give you an answer on how Jesus dealt with that.
Okay.
All right? When the woman at the well was broken, and she had had five husbands and five divorces, she's now living with her boyfriend. Okay? And Jesus specifically goes to that area on purpose because the Father has sent him there. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a miracle of a whole city being changed. Okay? He says nothing to her about her behavior. What he does say is, you have had five husbands. The man you're living with is not your husband. And she acknowledges this and knows then that he's a prophet. Does he say, go sin no more? No, he doesn't.
No.
He said, you have need of what? Living water. I have people in my life, they know that I have living water in me. But they don't want my living water. They want to continue their lifestyle. They want to continue their coordinates that are comfortable. Okay? You have an example. When he says to her, I have living water, and you haven't really basically asked, and she's focused on the well, the natural. And he's saying, but I have something and water that you've not known nothing about, basically. So when you have this type of personality, which you know they're coming to test you, you can respond by saying, which I've done that, you already know my heart, otherwise you wouldn't be asking the question. And you don't want to really know what I think because you already know my witness. So my best suggestion to you is look for living water that came into my life, changed me, and is available to you to change you. I'm not interested in changing you because we're going to have an argument. We're going to have a fight. And I'm not interested in that.
I need to write that down. I can put it on my wall.
Well, again, see, the living water that you have, they do not want, because then it would bring them to accountability. Amen?
Amen.
Living water is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will take you from death to
life.
And if they don't want it, you can argue till the cows come home, and they're still going to be angry at you. Because they already know your opinion. They just want to antagonize you and get an argument out of you. And I've said to one person, go do quickly what you've decided to do because you won't respect anyone else's opinion. The only one you love is you.
Oh, boy. I need to call you instantly. And I need to say, you can't repeat that.
Now, I can tell you this. There are always going to be antagonistic individuals that are not interested in the living water that you have, but it is available. And if you make that clear at some point and say, you know, we could argue over this legal stuff, but you've already decided by your actions what you want to do. So go ahead. My prayer is that you get thirsty. And if we, and you know, they'll agree with you. Well, you know, otherwise they wouldn't ask the question if they had no interest. But no more condemnation. You're not to judge or condemn. You're to let them come to the what? Living water. Come to the well. And when they take a drink, they'll be able to see themselves just like we talked about for what, half an hour earlier? When we see ourselves, who's the one that's pouring that living water out of us? Who? It's him. It's him. He's letting you see your selfishness. He's letting you see your motivation for a change. And this is exciting. Now, would you do me a favor? Would you lift one hand to Jesus?
Say, I need more of that water, Lord.
I need
a lot more of that water, Lord.
Because
your Holy Spirit is the author and finisher of love.
It keeps my heart
loving those that are broken.
Right where I used to live.
And now, it's getting better all the time.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't stop, Lord.
Keep washing away the old.
Keep washing away the old.
And bring in living life.
Through me.
To give them hope.
To give them hope.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.